Hello, everyone. Welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees and a fun twist at the end of each episode.
So obviously, the Yankee season has come to an end, unfortunately. And don't worry, we'll talk all about that game. It's been a couple weeks since that happened. And we took a week off to just kind of relax from talking about Yankees baseball for a little bit. And we were thinking about recording yesterday, but decided not to. And then today we found out that Aaron Boone got re-signed. So we thought today would be a great day to kind of talk about Yankees baseball, recap how the season ended, and kind of cover what we're going to be doing in the off season, some of our plans, and then end it off with talking about how all the series have gone after the Yankees got eliminated. So that's kind of the plan for today. And as always, if you enjoy the episode, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the seventh inning stretch. So join us now for Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Ladies and gentlemen, he who breaks the rules goes back to the house of pain.
All right, guys. So to kick it off, we'll obviously cover the tragic end to the Yankee season, yet another postseason exit at the hand of the Boston Red Sox. Going into this game, I think we were both feeling pretty confident, obviously coming off a sweep of the Red Sox at Fenway with Gerrit Cole on the mound. I mean, it looked like everything was going our way, but obviously
it was a rematch of that game. They had Eovaldi going. He usually does great against us, but last time we faced him, we saw him good. So you felt good and you have Cole going and you're like, okay, I felt really confident about this game. And just the first inning just like kind of took the wind out of our sails.
Yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating having a guy on the mound that's your ace. You paid him $330 million to be an ace. And I mean, I'm not necessarily really that worried about Gerrit Cole going forward, but it's clear at the end of the season, he just wasn't the same pitcher after he had his hamstring injury. I mean, like his control wasn't there. His off-speed pitches weren't there, and his fastball command, it was just awful. Gerrit Cole's a guy that even after sticky stuff, he rarely misses his spot with his fastball. He's really good at painting the corners, pitching it up in the zone, missing the middle of the zone. But ever after his injury, it was just middle fastball, middle in fastball over and over and over. And I mean, it's just going to punish you.
Yeah, you could get away with that against like bad teams, but when you face, you know, the Blue Jays and Red Sox, like you're going to get hit. Like even if you throw hard, throwing it down the plate, they're going to hit it. They're a good offensive team.
Yeah, especially considering that his slider and curveball just weren't really effective at all. At the end of the season, his command on those wasn't there. Like his command on all of his pitches just weren't there. And it kind of just killed him. And it happened again in this game. Bogarts hit a home run.
Yeah, got an early hook. So went two innings, but I guess kind of getting ahead of myself. So that first inning, Yankees come up to the plate. Rizzo has a two-pitch at bat. It was a really quick at bat. Judge flies out, and then they bring up Stanton. And you know what Stanton's been doing lately is especially against the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Crushes the ball. I think it's a home run. I think we all thought it was a home run. The cameraman definitely thought it was a home run because that camera angle was deceptive. And it just bounced off the wall for a long single. And it really makes you wonder, you're like, if the Yankees won just one game, right? If they won one game, one more, they would have home field advantage. And that's a home run in Yankee Stadium. Stanton had three of those hits that could have been home runs in Yankee Stadium, but wasn't to be with the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, it's potentially a completely different game at Yankee Stadium. Obviously, that's a what-if game. It wasn't at Yankee Stadium. We didn't get that extra win. We lost home field advantage. It's all of these things all season, just punting regular season games like they don't matter, getting swept by Detroit because they started AAA pitchers 3 days in a row, stuff like that. When it happens, you don't think much of it. But when you look back and you're like, oh, if we won one more game this season, we have home field, and this is potentially a completely different game. Stanton had two balls off the Green Monster that undoubtedly would have been home runs at Yankee Stadium. He would have had three home runs, one of them with a runner on. I mean, it sucks, but it's how the cards were dealt. We had to come in and win in Fenway, which we clearly proved that we could do that just a couple weeks ago. But I think the biggest issue in this game was that everyone after Stanton, so 4 through 9, was a combined 20 or 1 for 20. I mean, that's awful. Like, the first three hitters were okay, and then like Rizzo, Judge, and Stanton, and then everyone else was just horrible. But I mean, our last four hitters were Gardner, an injured Gio, Higgy, and Andrew Velasquez. Like, we're not winning in the playoffs if that's our lineup.
Yeah. I mean, we were missing DJ, but the Red Sox were also missing JD. So it wasn't like, you can't even try to say, oh, we weren't healthy. The Red Sox weren't healthy either. They weren't, you know, they didn't have their best lineup out there. So it just sucks to, you know, lose that game. Another, you know, early postseason bounce from a division rival. You know, we lost to the Rays, and then even the Astros, just a rival in general. We got to the ALCS and got bounced. So just another disappointing end to a season that you felt like could have been so much more. I know going into the playoffs, I didn't have that much hope just because of the way the Yankees season has went. But at the beginning of the year, like, we thought they were World Series favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone honestly would have expected what happened this year to happen. I mean, there are going to be a lot of people that have been like, oh, Glaber and DJ and Gio and all these players were due for a regression, like blah, blah, blah. I mean, you can't just expect 75% of a lineup to all fall off a cliff in the same year. Like, that's not how baseball really works.
I mean, to an extent, they're right. You can expect regression, but this was a bad regression. Like, it was so much more worse. Like, I didn't think DJ would win another batting title or anything, but I didn't expect him to drop 100 points on his average and go from like 900 OPS to barely 700.
Yeah. That's like steeple. It wasn't just a regression this year. It was much more than that. And I mean, overall, the game just sucked. Like, we were still in it when we scored in the sixth inning and it was 3-1, and then we promptly gave up more runs. I mean, Loaisiga gave up two runs, which, I mean, the game just didn't go our way. Loaisiga had three walks and gave up two runs. Like, he did that.
Phil Nevin maybe had a twice. Really bad send that game.
Yep. I forgot about that one.
That was before Stanton's. Before Pasta gave up those runs. I think the inning before, right? He the Yankees were threatening, and then Judge, for some reason, Stanton crushes the ball. You think it's a home run? No, it's off the wall again. And then I didn't think Judge was gonna score at all. I thought he was gonna hold up at third. Nevin sends him, and he's like clearly out at home. Judge did his best to try to avoid the slide, but it was a bad send. Like, I don't know why he sent him. It was just a bad call.
Yeah, and that was right after Rizzo hit a home run. So,
yeah,
I mean, we had momentum going. Who knows what would have happened? And it's, I mean, I somewhat understand the send just because, like, I mean, it's tough because it wasn't a perfect relay and Judge was out by plenty. So like to say like, mm-hmm. oh, you got to make them be perfect or whatever. Like, no, in that play, they didn't even have to be that good. And they still got him by a mile. Like,
I think it was closer than it should have been because of Judge, because he tried to do a little trick slide at home, mm-hmm. almost was safe, but I don't think you should send him that time.
Yeah, and that's kind of just been a common theme with Phil Nevin. He just there's just so many plays that I remember that he sent someone and it's just like, what are you thinking? Like they weren't even close. Like, I'm not sure what you're looking at. You can't expect a Major League Baseball team to just make an error every time. Like,
yeah.
And
I mean, the Yankees have, I know Nevin hasn't been with us too long, but the Yankees have a history of just bad or recent history of bad third base coaches. Do you remember, was it Joe Espada that had Greg Bird? Greg Bird's slow, really slow. And I think he had an ankle injury. He sends him in the postseason game against the Astros.
Yeah, gets I remember
out
that.
At home, and then it starts up that whole extra innings that we eventually lose.
I feel like that was Marwin Gonzalez that threw him out. I remember
that. I was thinking it was Jose Altuve, but it was something crazy like that.
Yeah, and I mean, it sucks. Hopefully the next one is good, because as most of you probably know, Phil Nevin was relieved of his duties, as was Marcus Thames and PJ Pilater, who was the assistant hitting coach. And
so,
I mean, yeah, you can go.
I was going to say, so last episode we had like kind of our off season thing. And I said, that was one of my, you know, I want them gone. Like, I didn't think Aaron Boone would be gone, but I definitely wanted those guys gone for sure. Mm-hmm. So good news. I mean, we'll see who they replace them with, but you know, I think that's a good start. I think Thames was long overdue.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's tough to pin everything on Thames, but I mean, when he came in, it's just been home run or nothing the whole time, and we need consistency. And Brian Cashman's press conference when they announced Boone's extension, which we'll get into. But one of the things Cashman said is this year they've just lacked consistency, which is completely true. But at the same time, like, some of that can be pinned on the fact that Thames has an approach to hitting that just isn't geared towards consistency. And I know one thing that Cashman's been saying and a lot of people are thinking is that he kind of wants to go like the Matt Blake approach and kind of align our hitting coach the same way, to just be a more analytically driven hitting coach mm-hmm. that can use the new technology. And someone that I've seen thrown around is Rachel Balkovec, I think is how you say her name, which she's a minor league hitting coach right now that's like super into drive line and all of the advanced technology that you can use to help a hitter. And that's, I mean, I think staying in the organization, which would be really helpful, especially with like how successful our minor league hitters have been this year and like mm-hmm. how much of a jump they've taken. She's only been the hitting coach since 2019. So this is only her second season really, because they didn't have a season last year. I mean, she's been successful. Mm-hmm. So if they think she'd be ready for it, that's someone I definitely would see as a good candidate for the position.
Yeah, I knew about her, but I was interested to see what they would do. I really like what the Giants did with their hitters. Like, I don't know, I'm not saying get their hitting coach, but whatever like philosophy they had, just because it seems like Posey, Crawford, Belt, they all had like big seasons and it's like came out of nowhere. But it seemed like all, actually not Posey particular, but Crawford and Belt definitely retooled their approach. So it'll be interested to see like how did they do it, like what was like the secret sauce behind their success. So we'll see.
Yeah. And in terms of the third base coach, I don't really, like, I don't know what goes into making a good third base coach, but I just hope it's someone that makes better not calls.
Sending your runners to get thrown out at home. I know it's easy to say, but, you know, don't do that often.
And also
what you need as.
Also, I know there are a lot of people out there that want Phil Nevin to come back as for some other position, because I know a lot of the players really like Phil Nevin and he's a great guy. Yeah. It's just one of those difficult decisions that Cashman had to make, because Nevin has costed us multiple runs in the postseason in the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, we said it before, like, he's a great guy. He's just not good at his job, you know, and he definitely gets the clubhouse fired up. So, like, I would like to see him back in some capacity other than third base coach, but I'm not sure what that, you know,
first base capacity coach
would be.
Just flip first and third base coaches. Try it out. So I guess might as well talk about Aaron Boone and how we feel about that one. I know I'm pretty sure on last episode I at least said, maybe you did too, but I know I said that I wanted Aaron Boone to be gone.
I said I would like him to be gone. I just didn't think the Yankees would do it. You know, I really do think, like, him and Cashman are, like, you know, they're close, and I think he follows marching orders. You know, I don't think, but I just don't think he gets the Yankees fired up. You know, I like to see him do that, and I just haven't seen him do that yet. Like, it seems like the Red Sox, Alex Cora, like, they rally around Cora. I don't know if the Yankees rally around Boone. Like I said it before, I was like, they get more excited around a turtle than their manager.
Yeah, but it's also tough, because then Aaron Judge came out and publicly supported Boone and said that the players really like Boone and all of that stuff. So, like, I mean, maybe he does fire them up, and the issue just goes beyond that, and the issue is a fundamental approach to hitting. Maybe that's just the issue with this offense. But I mean, Aaron Boone has been thrown out more times than any other coach since he's joined the Yankees, and the players always love when he does that. And it's, I mean, the Yankees believe in him, the players like him. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know what the issue is. I can only hope that this is the right move, but I guess we'll see next year, because Cashman made it clear that there's a lot more changes that need to happen. It's not like they're just going to hire a new third base hitting coach and all of that stuff and move on and do the same thing next year. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Do you want to talk about what he said? Like what he sees the roster becoming. So he said, what did he say? He said they want a defensive shortstop, right? He said Gary's role is going to be evaluated. I don't know. What does that mean? He might be non-tendered potentially. I don't know. He said they're going to seek more athleticism and contact, which kind of goes with what we've been saying, where the Yankees have been boom or bust this whole time. So it'll be nice to see that. I don't know. By athleticism, does that mean like they like a guy that's fast?
I want to go Marte? Back to that.
I don't know.
Yeah. And he also said that they really need to work on consistency. That was a huge issue that they had this year. And that kind of goes hand in hand with athleticism, a defensive shortstop. Because he said that Boone really didn't have much flexibility this year with the roster, just because A, injuries, and B, every one of the reliable starters is kind of, it's just an unathletic, kind of the same type of player. Like DJ and Judge, very different. One's power, one's contact, blah, 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 but both are slow. I mean, Judge isn't slow, but like there's no one on this other than Tim LeCastro, Tyler Wade, and Andrew Velasquez, and Greg Allen when he was here, and I guess Floreal. But like most of the players on the team that are regulars just don't have actual speed. Like Judge isn't slow. Let me think of the rest of the roster. Glaber's slow. Guardy's not slow, but he shouldn't be a starter. Stanton's slow. DJ slow. Geo slow. Gary slow. Higgy slow. Like, all of these players are slow. And Rizzo, Voit, both probably aren't coming back next year. But
yeah,
it's, I guess we can start with Gary, because this one's kind of the most straightforward out of everything he said. He did say that he thinks Gary took a really big step through a lot of hard work defensively this year, but kind of fell off towards the end of the year, which I would agree with. I think the beginning of the year, he was looking a lot better defensively, but as the year went on, he just got progressively worse and worse. He went back to like his old laziness. Like, I want to clarify, because I don't think Gary's lazy. I think he just, like, the way he plays just comes off as lazy. I don't think he's athletic enough to play the way they're trying to get him to play, if that makes sense. So, but yeah,
why do you think his defense just took a turn? Do you think it's because, you know, how many games there are? It's just, it kind of wears on you, and you kind of have to, you just go back to your traits? Or do you think when they started benching him, he just went back to who he was? He was like, okay, I'm going to go back to how I was playing before. Like, because it seemed like Higgy did take, and I'm sure his defense played a role into why Higgy overtook him at the end. And also, I guess his bat just really went cold. But do you think just, you know, not being the starter kind of got in his head, and he was like, okay, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to say put your full effort. Like, I don't want to say he's lazy. I don't want to say that. But,
yeah,
you know, do you think that kind of played into it?
I think it's probably a combination. I think as a – Gary gets banged up a lot as a catcher, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he never puts his hand behind his back and he catches from one knee.
That frustrates me to no end. Just, I don't understand why catchers don't do that.
He does get beat up a lot, so that probably has a factor with how nimble he is and able to get to certain things, but also it probably did get into his head that he was losing the starting role again. And it sucks because, like, last year when Higgy got the starting role, he was kind of like actually producing offensively, not like a good offensive player, but like for a catcher, he was doing kind of well. But this year, it was just, they both sucked at offense at the end of the year, and Higgy was just a little bit better at defense. So
yeah,
last year in the postseason, Higgy actually did things, but this year it was, I mean, the postseason is so short, but Higgy was ice cold at the end of the year too.
So that kind of makes me think, so if you're not getting defense from your catcher and you're getting no offense, or not respectable offense, at least to make you like stomach the bad defense, should you just go after, you know, a defensive minded catcher who will, you know, steal your strikes, that will do those things, you know, maybe help the pitching staff and just get them? Because it seemed like, I know Kluber might not be here, but, you know, Gary isn't catching Cole, and it seemed like Kluber didn't want Gary catching him. So do you think they'll just, yeah, I don't know who's out there. Martin Maldonado, he's probably the best defensive free agent catcher out there. Jeff Mathis, although I don't think you want Jeff Mathis.
Yeah, it's tough because there aren't really many great catchers that are available. Like, I don't particularly want to non-tender Gary and then sign a catcher that's only good at defense and can't hit, because then we're stuck with two defensive catchers and no offense from the catcher position. Like, Gary at least can hit. He's very streaky, but it's there.
Yeah.
Like, if we sign Maldonado and get rid of Gary, then we have two Higgies.
Yeah.
Like, that's just,
yeah.
I just don't think that'd be very effective, honestly.
I know Cole does like pitching to Martin Maldonado, right? Wasn't he his personal catcher in Houston?
Yeah, but what's wrong with Higgy? Like, why not just have Higgy?
Yeah, no, that's true. And I guess they're not offensively, I don't think they're dissimilar. Like, I think they're very similar in what they do. It's just, I guess it's just a matter of, is his defense, Maldonado's defense, good enough to, you know, just be the starter and live with it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even, is Mike Zunino a free agent? Or is he?
I think he has a club option.
Oh, yeah, all of these players do. What? Yeah, I don't really know. It's tough. Yeah, there's really not any good catchers that are becoming free agents. Like Yan Gomes, Martin Maldonado.
Yeah, no one that inspires confidence. So it's kind of like you might as well keep Gary for another year and then reevaluate. And I don't think if the Yankees are going to get a catcher, it's not going to come from outside the organization. It's going to have to be, you know, Austin Wells, you know, one of like our catcher prospects is going to, you know, fill the role in the future. I don't see many good catchers available in the next couple of years.
Yeah. And I think that trying to get Austin Wells or one of our Antonio Gomez, just one of our catching prospects, that's probably going to be the best route. And I think we might just have to hope that Gary can just put together a couple decent offensive years and have Higgy for defensive situations. I mean, a lot of teams just don't get a lot of production out of their catcher position. So it's not like we're just ruined if we don't. There's not really many good options.
Yeah. Yep. And I guess going on to shortstop, you know, Cashman said he wants a defensive shortstop. So who do you think he's going at? Not who do you want, who do you think he's targeting?
It's tough. I mean, so the issue is, okay, so you got Corey Seager. The pros for Corey Seager, he's a left-handed bat. He's a great hitter in Yankee Stadium. That'll probably play really well. It'll give us some balance for our lineup. But he's really not that good defensively, and he's also not really that fast. So it's kind of just like a better version of Gleyber, but
so he fits, you know, the mold in that he's a left-handed hitter and he mashes the ball, but he's probably not the best fit if you want a defensive shortstop. Probably doesn't fit that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I don't think he stays at shortstop for, you know, the next couple of years. I think he does move to third eventually. I don't know. And I guess if you're going to sign a shortstop to a long-term deal, you always have that in the back of your mind. But I think Seager goes to third sooner than any of the other shortstops available.
Yeah. So I guess number two would be Carlos Correa. And the pros of Carlos Correa, great hitter. He's a great fielder. He can move to third. He's done it. He played in the World Baseball Classic, like we've talked about. He's athletic. He's not super fast, but like he's not extremely slow either, but he is an athletic player and he's incredible in the postseason. Great defense, but he's Carlos Correa. So the only negative to Carlos Correa is that he is Carlos Correa. Like, I think that would be up to the team, up to the players, if they're willing to play with him. Like, if it's just going to ruin the chemistry in the clubhouse, it's an iffy situation. Like, we did bring in Roger Clemens, which was not a very well-liked player in the clubhouse, but we won. And we did the same thing with A-Rod. Like, I do think you have to kind of talk to the players about it, see what they think. But that's really the only con to Carlos Correa is that he was on the 2017 Astros. Like, he's such an incredible player.
Yeah. Like, he does so much. You know, he checks all the boxes except that he has the stink of the Astros. You can't I don't think you're going to see a lot of Yankee fans upset by that move. And then also, yeah, if it ruins the clubhouse chemistry, like that's probably not the best move. But
yeah,
on a pure baseball move, like if you're just playing MLB The Show, you do that move all day. And then what about Andrelton Simmons?
I don't want him. Next would
But do you think Cashman is – do you think Cashman may target
him? I hope
him?
Not. I really hope not.
Because when I heard defensive shortstop, my first thought was Andrelton Simmons.
But why not just start Tyler Wade for a season? Like, why spend the money to bring in Andrelton Simmons if you can just start Tyler Wade? Tyler Wade's faster. He's probably just as good at defense at this point. Andrelton Simmons isn't that good at defense anymore. And Andrelton Simmons can't hit. So, like...
Yeah, he's very bad at hitting.
Like, anyone that's... anyone that says they want to bring him to the team, like, we literally have Vasquez and Wade, which would be just as productive as Simmons would for a lot less
money. And cheaper.
Yeah. And they're a lot faster. So, like...
Yeah.
Why would we do that?
Yeah. He's also anti-vax, right?
I don't even care. I don't know anything about him. Okay. What do you think about Semien?
I told you at the beginning of the year, that's the guy I was targeting because I really thought he would have signed a short-term contract and that would have set us up perfectly with our prospect. But I think he played himself into a long-term contract where I don't think the Yankees can sign him to the deal I wanted. But I like Semien. Like, you know, just even getting him off Toronto, you know, is a plus in that sense. But yeah, I like Semien. I would sign him. He was a good shortstop. You know, he moved over to second and broke the home run record as a second baseman. But, you know, he's a really good shortstop, you know. I know he had error problems at the beginning of his career, but I think he's a good fit for the Yankees as well.
Yeah, I think the thing with Semien is if he's going to sign, like, Correa, Seager, and we'll talk about Story and Baez, like, those players, like, with their age, I'd be fine with signing to like 6-7 year deals, but Semien, I wouldn't want to sign past 5, but ideally a 4-year deal just because of his age. Like, I know he hasn't had a ton of injuries, but it's just after signing DJ and we have Cole for a long time, we have Stan, like, I don't want to sign a 31, 32 year old player to a 7-year deal, another one. Exactly. So like if he'd sign a 4 or 5 year deal, like he is a great player. I wouldn't mind having him at all. Like,
yeah,
it'd be great guy to get, but it's all about the contract. And
yeah,
so what do you think about Trevor Story?
I'm kind of down on him. You know, I really like the idea, but I'm kind of down. And it's really weird because I did have him as one of my top shortstops coming into the year, like when we had our rankings. I don't know. I don't like the fit. I can't really pinpoint the reason why. I know he had a down year this year. He also had injury problems. I don't know. I can't point to an exact reason, but I don't want him.
I honestly think that he is the most likely person that Cashman would get. If he got between Semien, Story, Seager, Correa, and Baez, if you were to get one of them, I think it would be Story.
Yeah,
like if I was to bet on it, I think he could get any of them, but Story fits the defensive athletic player build that he wants. Like, Story is by far the fastest out of these players. Mm-hmm. He's the most athletic. He's
a 2020 guy, easy.
He's a great defender, and he was a great hitter. Like, this year was bad, and he has the Coors effect, but we saw with DJ and Arenado that they can definitely still play outside of cores. If he's going to be cheaper because he's down here, like, you could see, I could really see that happening. But
how much do you think his value went down because of this year? I don't think it really went down that much.
I think just a couple million probably.
Okay.
But like, if you're going to pay, I'm not actually like just spitballing numbers. Like if Correa is going to sign like 28 million, Seager's 27, Semien's 27, but then yeah. Story's like 23 or 22. Yeah. Like that might be something where Cashman and Hal are like, oh, that's a good
yeah.
deal.
If let's he's jump significantly on that. Cheaper than everyone else, then yeah, yeah, it makes sense. And when I say I don't want him, I don't mean like I don't think he's a good player. Like if we sign him, I'll be happy. I'm just saying out of all these shortstops, mm-hmm. you know, I'd rather one of the other players.
The only player that I don't want to sign, like I wouldn't be happy about signing, is Javi Baez. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He's just another OBP power guy that's going to strike out a lot. Yeah. I cannot stomach having
another
one.
I think he's a
one.
Fun player to watch, but frustrating yeah. as a fan to have on your team.
Yeah, like he's a good defender and he's athletic, but I would mm-hmm. rather have Correa, Seager, Story, or Semien over him. Yeah. So, and yeah, again, exactly. I wouldn't be mad if we signed him. I would just be like, come on, like we really couldn't go like, for someone else.
Out of all these shortstops we yeah. signed, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So what would your ranking of the five be in order of you want to sign the most to the least?
It would have to be Correa, Seager, Story, or not Story, Semien, Story, Baez, and then Andrelton Simmons seventh. Actually, I'm not even going to list that as a possibility. I don't want that at all, ever. So, yeah, you know, that's yeah. my ranking.
Yeah, I think I'm the same order, and I don't count Andrelton Simmons. Like, there's literally no reason we should sign him. It doesn't make any sense. But if we signed Carlos Correa, oh, man. Like, I'm afraid I was just going to say, I'm afraid of what the fan base would do and what the team would do. Yeah. But if you want to win, you get the best player possible, and that's Carlos Correa, hands down.
Yep.
He's also the youngest.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say, did you realize, like, for everything Correa has done in his career, he's still the youngest player out of all of those players?
Insane. He's 4 years younger than Semien.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm getting to the point where some of these Astros players, I'm starting to like the players again. Like, I still hate Altuve. Mm-hmm. I will always hate Altuve. Yeah. I don't like Bregman, but that's more of,
yeah,
I don't like the way he looks and the way he hits. It just bothers me. I don't, the way he hits just, it makes me uncomfortable for some reason. Like I just don't like it. It's not visually appealing. And the way he looks, like his face is just really small and it's weird.
Okay.
But like Correa is just one of those guys that's make baseball fun again. Like he showboats.
He was one of my favorite players before the scandal.
Yeah. He was definitely top five for me before the scandal.
I think even Altuve was one of my, like, just because everything he did, you know, he's such a little guy and he's doing, yeah. You know, and I know he took the MVP from Judge, which I was upset about at the time, but now knowing everything else that came out, you're like,
yeah,
you feel even worse about it. But yeah, like he's a great story. And then the scandal came out.
Yeah. Like Altuve and Bregman are two players I never liked. So that compounded with the fact that they cheated, I will always hate them. But like Correa has proven, I mean, a lot of these players on this team have, but Correa has proven that like he didn't need to cheat to be good. And let's remember, like he was what, 23, 22 when that happened?
Yeah.
I mean, he was in the beginning of his career, but like either way, he's an absolutely incredible player. He fits everything the Yankees need.
He recently shook off that injury bug that he's had. You know, I think that was a concern too for Correa, because you know he did have injury concerns.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It seems like he can hold up. I think he's proven he could hold up over a season, but it's something to like keep your eye out on as well.
I mean, he's played almost every game in the last 2 years. So
that's what, yeah.
it's obviously last year was a shortened season, but like he played half a season in 2019, but over 100 games in every other full season that he played. So it's not, I also do possibly remember what his injury in 2019 was that made him miss so much.
I honestly think they were all fluky injuries. Like, I don't think, like, I remember he had like a massage one time and like he cracked a rib or something. Yeah. Is that not like something that happened? So like, I think they're all pretty fluky injuries where mm-hmm. it's like, I'm not really overly concerned about it. Like if it was like like Josh Donaldson, where it's like a recurring calf injury, you're like, okay, maybe, but you know, I'm not that concerned about the injury history for career.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'd be fun to watch Correa and Lindor battle it out in New York for the next however many years, because they're both Puerto Rican, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And also Baez, like that whole group would just be fun to watch them compete. So yeah, that's obviously, we agree that we want Correa. He's an 800 over 800 OPS career player. He's a plus defender. Like, he's 27. There's really nothing.
Yeah. And he has the postseason.
Seven WAR this year. Like, it's everything that you could possibly want and more, except that he played for the Astros. So
do you think the Astros let him go though?
That's another thing that I honestly don't know the Astros contract situation. I don't know mm-hmm. what they have coming up. I don't know mm-hmm. like who they gotta like watch out for, but it's
because I was thinking, like, I see Seager leaving the Dodgers as hard as it is, just because they have all those guys coming up that they're gonna have to pay. I know Bellinger had like a really, really, really bad year, like, oh my god, terrible, like you can't believe it, but you know, they still have to pay a lot of these guys, plus they have Turner to take over at shortstop anyways. So I think he's more likely to leave than, you know, Correa. But if we could grab him, that'll be super sweet.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible that he resigns there. But mm-hmm. also, I don't really see the Astros paying as much money as some other teams are going to be willing to pay for him. So mm-hmm. I guess it just depends on how much he likes playing for them. I could also see him wanting to leave the Astros to kind of like prove to everyone that he's like an all-time great player and it's not because he cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see that being a realistic possibility, but like, the Astros payroll this year is 120 million. Like, they're not a big market spender. So it'll definitely be interesting to see what direction they go in.
Yeah.
And if they're able to get hit back.
Yep.
All right.
So it's going to be a fun offseason this offseason.
Yeah. And in terms of speed, I don't know what they plan on doing. I think Cashman said center field is another position of need. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means for Hicks, but
yeah.
I can't wait for the offseason to start and to hear all the rumors of, oh, Carlos Correa is going to sign a deal with the Yankees. Seager's going to sign a deal with the Yankees, like just like Machado and Harper.
Like, yeah. Yep. Until ultimately they both don't sign with the Yankees.
And we get Andrelton Simmons.
I'm telling you, if that I feel like Cashman will do that. Like, I read that statement and I just thought, oh, he's gonna get Simmons, isn't he?
But I think that's a lot of like people reading into it. I think he just meant they need a shortstop that can play defense. Like, Gleyber mm-hmm. just isn't a good defender. They need someone that can play defense well. I don't think he means I'm going to sign someone that's a defensive specialist.
Gotcha.
But okay. So that's kind of what's happened so far in the off season. And I think it's a good time to just kind of lay out some of our, our plans for the podcast this offseason. I think we've been talking, and some of the things we want to do, just like top 10 players at each position in the MLB, and all we want to do an all-time Yankees team. So just like the best Yankee at each position, just some fun stuff like that to kind of keep up the Yankees talk and baseball talk throughout the offseason. And mm-hmm. whenever a big story happens, a big signing or anything, I think we can even try and just make an episode, like a quick episode that day, if it happens, if we're able to. But trying to keep up with the weekly episodes, I think going forward, Monday or Tuesday might be a more common recording and release day versus the Sundays that we were doing, just because I know things might just be a little different in the off season. But yeah, our plan is just keep churning out episodes and kind of thinking of some fun things to do. And if you guys have any suggestions of what an episode that you want us to make, definitely let us know. It you can just reach out at on Twitter or Instagram at The Bronx Story, and we'd love to do some of the things that you guys want to see as well.
Definitely.
So now I guess we can kind of just recap what's happened in the rest of baseball in the playoffs so far. I think just like a quick,
our bracket was completely busted. Like, I know we got the wild card games wrong, but like we got everything wrong.
We only got the Astros right. That's the only team that we got right, I think. Oh, and the Braves. No, we picked the Brewers. Nope. Yeah. The Astros are the only team that we got right. And we didn't have them in the World Series, so.
Yeah. So we had, I guess the Yankees obviously lost their wild card game, and then it was the Cardinals Dodgers, and the Dodgers pulled that off in extra innings, right? That was an extra innings game.
I believe so. Thanks. Yeah, Chris Taylor hit the walk off.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a great
game. I don't think it was tied going into the ninth, I think, and then he hit the walk off.
Yeah,
so maybe. I think it was a walk off in the ninth.
Yeah, but Chris Taylor hit a walk off to.
Yep. Yep.
Any way you spin it, whatever inning it was.
And then there was a kind of a funny storyline, or not? I don't know if it's funny, but it was Astros White Sox. So Astros go up 2-0, and then the White Sox take game three to make it 2-1. And then one of the pitchers, Ryan Tepera?
Yeah.
Yeah, he started saying like, oh yeah, they're cheaters. And then like once we got home, you know, now they can't do anything. And then the next game, they just destroyed them.
And it's also funny because the White Sox didn't really score very many runs in the first two games away, and then they got home and they scored a bunch of runs. So
yeah,
it's baseball. Like,
yeah,
I don't think the Astros are cheating anymore. I mean, yeah, they're getting destroyed by the Red Sox. So the Astros, like you said, took that one in four games, and then. Yeah, the Red Sox. Did the Red Sox beat the Rays in four games?
They did.
Yeah, fucking Randy Rosarena did the popcorn thing and all of that, and then just went downhill from there.
I mean, it was a close series. There, I know game four, there was that screwy finish where, you know, it hit Renfro and went over the. Over the fence, and like it was a close series. Like if you see 3-1, you think, you know, but it was a much closer series than that leads you to believe. That was a fun series, but I think the best series was the Dodgers Giants series.
I mean, just to glance over it really quick, the Braves Brewers had a decent series, but the Braves kind of like convincingly won that one. I think it was just
a pitching matchup throughout the whole game. So if you like pitching, which I do like pitching, that was a great series as well.
Yeah, but by far Dodgers Giants was the best series game, the only series to go to five games, and it definitely didn't disappoint. I think everyone kind of expected that to be one of the best series, if not the best, if it happened, because the Dodgers were a wild card team. But
yeah.
I mean, Cody Ballinger.
They had, yeah. Cody, yeah, it, you know, talk about, like, once the regular season ends, it's a new season, and, like, he's making the most of it, you know. Hopefully, if he could lead them to the World Series and win it, you know, I don't want to say all is forgotten, because that was a really bad season. But, yeah, you know, you could stomach it if you help them win the World Series. But, yeah, he came alive, you know, the wild card game and that series.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that was an incredible series. And
with Scherzer closing it out, too, which I was surprised. There was a little controversy with, like, the check swing to end their season, the Giants, at least.
Yeah. That was definitely not a swing. Wasn't even close. That's a really brutal way to end your season. But
yeah,
it's not like it was a blown replay where a runner would have scored and, like, it would have tied.
Yeah, it wasn't like
blah blah blah. But
yeah, like, if it was a 3-2 count, bases loaded, and they're he went around, you're like, oh my god. But, like, it wasn't. Yeah. I don't think it didn't change the series.
Yeah, it didn't decide the game. It wasn't like if the call was made right that the Giants would have tied it or won the game or whatever, but it definitely sucks. But totally. So that makes the CS matchups, the Astros, Red Sox, Braves, Dodgers, which right now the Red Sox are up 2-1 on the Astros after the first game the Astros played well, and then the last two, their starters have gone 5 1/3 innings through three games. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Erod outpitched the three Astros starters from the first three games in the last game alone, and that's Eduardo Rodriguez, the not good pitcher. So, like, the Astros are not in a good spot right now. They have Greinke going up tonight against Pivetta. This is a must-win game. Like,
yeah,
they go down 3-1. It's really not looking too good for them.
Yeah, and then right now the Dodgers and Braves are playing right now as we're recording, and the Braves are up 5-2.
I don't know,
some guys on base.
I don't know what's going on with the Braves, but, like, they just snuck into the playoffs, and now that they're in the playoffs, it's a whole new season. And
October, I mean, I was going to say, once you're hot, you know, I said I didn't have – a lot of hope for the Yankees, but, you know, it's like, if you're hot, you're hot, you know. If that could carry you to World Series, you know, ride that, the hot streak. You know, it seems like the Cardinals and Giants, you know, were, you know, beneficiaries of hot streaks to win the World Series, so why not? It could, any team could get hot.
Yeah, and that's something I think a lot of us Yankees fans were thinking. Like, if this Yankees team gets hot, they can definitely win the World Series, because when they're hot, their offense is amazing. But they didn't get hot, and we lost. Yeah. But the Braves are hot.
Well, I mean, before that Tampa series, it looked like it was lining up for it, right?
Yeah. We were playing hot, and then Tampa was like, nope, see ya. Settle down.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't want to talk about the Yankees anymore. The season sucked. But, yeah, the Braves are up 5-2. If they win this game and go up 3-0 after beating Scherzer and Buehler, like...
Yeah, so they beat Scherzer last night, or not last night, 2 days ago. And then they have Buehler going today, and you... figure that's a pretty good matchup for the Dodgers. It's Buehler versus Morton. It's not like they have a scrub pitcher going up either, but, you know, I would probably favor the Dodgers, and it seemed like they were just on him all game, you know. Mm-hmm. He gave up a lot of hits, and then, you know, they took him out early, so that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about them going to Urias yesterday. And blew the game.
Like, or 2 days ago. Sorry. Yeah.
No, that was yesterday. No, wasn't that yesterday? That was game. Oh, sorry. They had to go to LA, so that was 2 days ago. But last game. And I mean, if you're pitching Scherzer and Urias in the same game and you lose, Like, that's really bad for the Dodgers. Like,
I mean, he pitched game two because, you know, they had him save them for in game five against the Giants. So you figured he can't go game one. And then maybe because of that, he was on a lower pitch count. He took him out at 79. Like, even that was kind of, you know, I was second guessing that, you know, just taking him out that early, especially considering they had a bullpen game one. So you're like, who do they go to? Who they're turning to? So I thought that was kind of questionable for me. And then he stuck with Urias too. Well, first of all, I was surprised he even had Urias in that game.
Yeah.
And then he kind of stuck with him a little too long.
I mean, didn't he only face three hitters?
No, he gave up three hits. He got you're thinking of Gatterall. That which surprised me too. Like he gave up a hit to the first hitter, but it wasn't like he crushed it or anything. You know, he got a hit and then he got two guys out, you know. And he was starting, like, I don't think he threw less than, like, 99 miles per hour. And you know how Gatterall throws, like, you know, crazy. Yeah. He has that, like, 100-mile-per-hour sinker. It's crazy. Yeah, they took him out to put Kenley Jansen, which I didn't like that matchup at all.
Nope.
And they walked it off. I mean, it took Seager kind of, like, you know, backhanded the ball. But the ball was he hit it, like, a million miles per hour, so...
You know, I jokingly texted
too much, but
jokingly texted you right after the game that I no longer want Corey Seager. Because if that happened and I was if I was a Dodgers fan and that happened, or if Seager was on the Yankees and that's how we lost, I would be furious.
Well, but also the play before, Seager made a great play to save an error. So you just knowing that he made that play, because like he, if you didn't see it, it was like...
Yeah, no, I did, yeah.
Yeah, like, Gatterall had the ball, threw it to second, would have been an error if it was any other shortstop, but then he kind of, like, backhanded it, like, as a first baseman to get that play. So that was great by him. And then, you know, that play to end the game, you think, okay, he has that, and then just off the glove allows... Who was it? Who scored that run?
I know Rosario was the one that hit it.
Was it Albies? It was.
Let me look. Was it Dansby? I think it was Dansby.
It was Dansby. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Braves are winning game three right now. They're up three runs. Like, I don't think anyone expected the Braves to win the series or even have it be that close, let alone go up 3-0.
I mean, they're missing Acuna. So like their star center fielder. So like this whole season looked messy for the Braves. Like they were under 500 for a while. And then the Mets had their little collapse, but the Braves did a really good job at the trade deadline to kind of like retool their outfield with everyone missing. And you know, Ozuna has like a, you know, domestic assault case against him, so they lose him, and you're like, wow, they kind of lose their offense a little, but they kind of retooled it, and they're getting Rosario and Jack Peterson, who's just playing big time this, you know, postseason. So
yeah, I mean, I'm all in on a Braves World Series this year. It's the best possible outcome, and it'd be fun to watch them sweep the Dodgers. Out of the four teams that's remaining,
yeah,
it'd be fun to watch them sweep the Dodgers and then sweep whoever wins the ALCS. That'd be very amusing, but we'll see. And
yeah, I told Ryan before this podcast, I'm bracing for an Astros or Red Sox World Series win. Like it just feels like it feels like it's the Red Sox year. Just the way things are going, but
yeah, this hopefully is exactly what happened in 2015 or 18. Sorry.
Yeah,
we'll see. I'm gonna hope that's not the case, but if it is, then that's how it's gonna be, and that's baseball. But
yeah,
we will find out, and yeah. So I think that's a a good episode in the books there. I think there's a lot to look forward to as a Yankees fan this offseason. It's going to be a long offseason, just waiting to see if we finally can compete for a World Series, which we've been waiting for since 2009. I would like to at least make it to the World Series to see a fucking Yankees World Series jersey, but we'll see. And we'll see if Howell and Cashman have the guts to pay. I mean, there's no reason our salary should be under $250 million next year, unless there's a CBA that like changes everything. That's another thing that's really interesting about this offseason. But
yeah.
If there's no major changes and we're not paying at least $235 million, I'm going to be really upset because we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. We need to make a big splash.
Yeah. There has to be some changes there. It sounds like there will be, you know, just from Cashman's words today, and it just cleaning out just the coaching staff minus Boone, of course, but you know, it seems like there's going to be changes at least. So we'll see. And you know what I didn't talk about, which kind of frustrates me? You know, the Red Sox, they get rid of Mookie Betts. They trade Benintendi. I know Benintendi kind of stalled, but he was a top prospect. Like, they get rid of him, and then they're now in the ALCS. Like, they get rid of them, and they're there. And the Yankees are still just, like, you know, just hoping to get there. It feels terrible where it, like, they get rid of their core and then they still beat us.
Yeah, it sucks. And let's hope it ends next year and the Yankees finally do something. Thanks for listening. This has been It's a Bronx Story. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks. You can check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story.
Let's go, Yankees. Let's sign Correa.
Deep drive, left field. There it goes. See ya. A long home run for Maven. 7-1 Yankees.